B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to get the latest in esports and gaming news with Joe over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk. Plus, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming monster you would want to have as a pet. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with Fortnite. Fortnite caused panic all across the internet when they shut the game down for 2 days in order to bring a brand new, better version online. And when I say caused freakouts, it genuinely caused some major freakouts.
And I mean, from everybody, right? It wasn't just like younger kids who are playing and wanted to get back online. It was, you know, older people. It was content creators.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
It was broadcast websites. I'm telling you, there were people who were like starting to post like, if Fortnite doesn't come back, what game is going to replace it?
And you're on,
like,
wait a minute. Come on.
Didn't someone's aunt call them and was like, my son's freaking out. What do I do?
So literally the text that I woke up to on Monday was from my aunt Courtney saying, and I quote, what the hell's going on with Fortnite? My boys are hyperventilating. Complete distraction at school today with all the speculation and conversation. And here's the thing. So if you were playing on Sunday, if you were playing Fortnite on Sunday, your character, along with the entirety of the game, the island, everything else, was sucked into this black hole. And the genius part of it, because what Epic Games is doing is something that's actually very
viral marketing.
No, what they're doing is updating their software.
Yeah, that's it.
It's very mundane. This should be very procedural.
Usually this is patch notes that come out on Monday.
Yep.
The servers go down Monday night.
Yep.
They do all the work.
And you know exactly.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And you know exactly when on Tuesday morning they come back and it's back to the grind.
Instead, in a stroke of pure brilliance, Epic Games goes, nah, we're going to make this an event. We're not just going to make it a mundane, you know, game update.
Where people just go to a different game for a while.
Exactly. So they make this huge spectacle of the island exploding, imploding, whatever you want to call it.
Being sucked into a black hole.
And here's the most brilliant part of the whole thing is that after this happened, all of their social media, their websites, it all went dark.
They deleted.
Did I just blow your mind?
They deleted like 2 years worth of social media posts on Twitter. Like 2 years of all tweets just deleted.
I was actually doing a website post and looking for some tweets and wasn't sure I was on the right Twitter account because there wasn't anything.
It's brilliant.
Here's the shocking thing. Here's why this is so bold. Okay. Now, obviously, Epic Games has to shut it down in order to update, you know, the software.
Right.
But every moment that the game is down, they're losing money.
And when you talk about a game on the scale of Fortnite, right? Like, you're not talking about, you know, okay, yeah, we have to do our monthly maintenance, whatever, you know, it's built into the budget. Fortnite is a game that makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year. If you take 2 days off, that is seven-figure losses.
Yeah.
But the brilliant part about it is that at the very least, even if they were going to be, you know, not making money, make sure people's money wasn't going to other games because they had everybody transfixed on a stream of a black hole that was showing literally nothing. Okay. The Fortnite community was paralyzed into inaction because they said nothing.
This shut down for a short period of time, both Twitch and Mixer, with just a flood of traffic with people trying to figure out what was going on. And again, the smartest part about this whole thing is the way that Epic Games played it.
because just going dark and not communicating any information, including when the servers would go back online, made for an environment of incredible speculation and incredible buzz. This is one of the smartest PR stunts that I've ever seen.
Ever
in any video game or any video game related activation. This is one of the smartest things that Epic Games has ever
done. I'd argue in any form of entertainment ever.
Yes, I'm going to agree with that, yeah. Because now that the service is back up as well, they still haven't released any patch notes, so now everyone's in a mad dash to try and figure out and catalog and document what has changed.
And this is something where I think this is where game developers have really kind of lost their way in the last 5 years. Any online game that goes down for maintenance, as soon as it goes down for maintenance, you had mentioned it earlier, patch notes go up, communication to their audience when the servers will go back online is very transparent. And it becomes this very mundane process of like, now when everyone goes back online, they know exactly what NPC they have to talk to.
Yep.
They know what all the new stuff is. There's no sense of exploration.
Well, and that comes out of the, you know, definitely out of the MMO world. We all come out of the MMO world.
By the way, MMO stands for Massively Multiplayer Online Game. Sometimes RPG is attached to it as well.
Right.
So a lot of role-playing games kind of went this route after the success of World of Warcraft.
That's true. But when, you know, a gigantic event or new patch would come out, in older style MMOs or older style online games like that, you would get maybe the broad strokes.
Sure.
But there was a lot of stuff you had to just go discover and meet up with people.
And it was
a lot
just
of
left
word
to the
mouth.
Community. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of word of mouth. This is brilliant. This is going to have people engaged in Fortnite once again from something else that they've changed about the game for maybe weeks and months to come.
So I mentioned that, you know, players were freaking out. CBS did a little video about this, which I thought was pretty shocking. That's a guy punching his laptop.
Oh my gosh.
Like punching.
Because he can't play?
Because he, yeah, because the black hole is up there.
Oh my gosh.
Here's another. I mean, like, kids losing their mind. The guy who punched the laptop, that was a full-grown adult.
In our chat here, the Queen Neryu says, we had coaches calling me asking if they should drop Fortnite teams and where they should change to.
This is insane.
That's stupid.
This is insane.
Hold on. First of all, I want to call tech on everybody who freaked out. Are you all really that stupid?
You think
to think Epic would literally blow their game up, never to be seen again? Something that makes billions of dollars? Are you stoned?
I gotta say to that, though, if they did, it'd be the most legendary move in the history of gaming. It would never be forgotten, ever.
In the history of technology at that point.
It would be the most baller move if that's the way that Epic shut down Fortnite forever. And it was a thing that you had to be there for, and that's
you had
it.
To be there.
But the brilliance.
How mind-blowing.
The brilliance of it, though, is for the first time since the game's inception, basically, we had started to hear the calls of, you know what, it's getting a little boring.
I'm
getting a little bored with it. I'm moving on to something else. I don't like the new mech that I can drive. And this, in one fell swoop, got everyone's eyes back onto Fortnite. And by the way, we got League of Legends World Championships going on. You got the PlayStation 5 officially getting unveiled. It's not like there hasn't been any big gaming news.
No, you're 100% right. And here's the thing. I'm not a Fortnite fan, and I was glued to this.
I was too.
I was so enthralled and interested. I was watching Tim the Tatman on Sunday when this happened. I mean, it's an event that you really had to be there for. Now, the game servers are back online, so if you are
chaos has settled, the
chaos has settled down, people have stopped punching laptops, it's overall a good thing. But what are some of the changes that players have found so far with Fortnite 2?
So the new map is an island location. It's got 13 locations on it and more of a water focus than the old map was.
You can swim now.
There's
right
new swimming
there's
ability
fishing.
There's boats. There's fishing
because that's what I want to do in a game where I'm being shot at a whole bunch. spend some time fishing.
Yep. You also have new healing abilities for supporting your team.
There's a bandage bazooka.
It can shoot bandages at other players. That's pretty good.
And
you can carry teammates now, too.
That's actually good, because that's made to my knowledge, no other Battle Royale you can do that. Yeah.
And that was another one of the big ones. Obviously, there's a ton of bugs also being found and sussed out. But what really does shock me about this is the overwhelming positivity that this is being met with. I have not heard the complaints of their old map was better.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's out there. I have no doubt that some people like the old
Some locations from the old map are still within this map as well. So there is still even a little bit of like the old there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean that's good, but it's just usually when big changes happen in games, I think of like Cataclysm with World of Warcraft. Anytime a big change gets made in a game, there's a distinct vocal section of the community.
The general that consensus is not into it. That I've seen or heard is that it feels like Fortnite's kind of gone back to its roots, like the early days of Chapter 1. It feels like the original classic Fortnite now.
That's really interesting, and I have to imagine that, you know, just like with Chapter 1, in Chapter 2 we're going to get season updates that will add various new small features throughout, you know, that season of the game. I mean, again, I cannot say enough great things about this stunt, about this PR campaign. It was perfectly executed. I think the only complaint that I would have is that after, like, when the servers came back up, it went from that little black hole circle just to the login screen.
Yeah.
There was no, like,
how about a cutscene to bring us back?
Exactly. Yeah. I would have loved to see that, but that's the smallest, minor...
That's a critique.
Yeah, it's a very small critique. But listen, we want to hear from you. Were you one of the Fortnite players that freaked out? Hopefully you didn't punch your TV or your laptop. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming monster you would want as a pet. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
Google Stadia's official release date has been confirmed. We'll tell you about it.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WCTC 1450 in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and WLEA 1480 in Hornell, New York. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk. Plus, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming monster you would want to have as a pet. Those discussions are still ahead here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first,
gaming news update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Google has officially confirmed the release date for their upcoming cloud gaming service. Stadia will be going live on November the 19th.
Wow, that's soon.
Uh-huh. Those who pre-ordered and are subscribed to the premium service will have access right away, with a fully free version expected to release in 2020.
So, I got a question. Joe, you had pre-ordered Stadia.
I did.
It allows you... one of the pre-order functions was that you can lock in your name. Have you already done that?
You know what? I haven't done that yet.
Have they sent you anything on that?
Maybe they have. I don't know. I should probably get around to check it. I mean,
you might.
I mean, the pre-order was a pretty decent value. You got the Chromecast Ultra with it. You got a special edition controller with it. So, I mean, that is some good stuff.
What in the launch library are you looking forward to playing day one, Joe?
Oh, you know what? For me, I'm super interested in just seeing if it's functional. Like, that's what's actually interesting to me. The launch library is fine. It's whatever, but... I want it to work. If it works proves that this is a concept can work, then that's great.
I'm glad you paid before you knew that it worked.
Yeah. I did. If you're craving some of the games from your childhood, the Internet Archive has your back. The online archive, which preserves old games, has now added 2,500 MS-DOS era video games. Some of the more notable inclusions would be things like Alone in the Dark and Alien Rampage.
And listen, everybody's just going to end up playing Oregon Trail.
Yeah, Oregon Trail is definitely in there. By the way, the Internet Archive boasts over 7,000 MS-DOS games in total, not just this most recent edition of 2,500 games. And there's some amazing stuff in there, like the original SimCity,
yeah,
the original SimAnt.
These are mostly things that are like freeware or abandonware at this point, right?
Yes, that's exactly it. Unfortunately, one of my all-time favorite MS-DOS games, Legend of Kyrandia, is not in there. I was hoping that it would be.
What a callback, though.
I know.
Legend of Kyrandia.
Deep cut. Specifically, Chapter 3, Malcolm's Revenge.
How do you remember that?
Oh, man. It's burned into my memory.
In a surprise announcement, Running with Scissors has announced and released Postal 4.
Why?
No. Go away.
They were responsible for the first two Postal games and have now released Postal 4, No Regrets, on Steam Early Access. So if you're a fan of the series, head on over and check it out.
Did they mean to spell regrets wrong?
That was on the placard, so I hope that's what they meant for it to do.
Yikes.
Otherwise, they're going to be bummed out.
Postal is a reverence to the max, is the best way to describe the Postal series.
That's very generous.
So that's a kind way of putting Postal. Yeah. Speedrunning is a fascinating art in video games. Gamers spend weeks or months practicing new tricks to shave seconds off their time. Sometimes, however, a new trick does significantly more. A new trick in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas that was discovered has lowered the world record time from around 4 hours down to about 26 minutes.
Wow!
How is that possible?
So, first of all, anyone who has a world record or ever speedrun San Andreas has to be furious. There's a long, complicated glitch that you can start up where if you do it, it will basically jump you to the last mission of the game.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, the world record has been dropped by over 3.5 hours. And even the world record run I watched, he botched up the last mission. So there's still way more time you could take off of that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I love speedrunning. Blizzard has canceled an Overwatch event in New York City. It was scheduled to celebrate the launch of Overwatch on the Switch. However, Blizzard suddenly canned the event. There's no reason listed. However, given that the event was just announced last week, speculation is that the ongoing firestorm with Blizzard may be a part of the reason. We'll be talking more about the ongoing issues with Blizzard is facing in about 10 minutes, actually.
Yeah, Blizzard has had a really tough year and has not made it any easier on themselves with any of their most recent decisions. Surrounding Blitzchung and how they responded to that. I mean, canceling an event like that, it's definitely kind of suspect. I think that they were trying to avoid a protest situation.
I think that's exactly what they were trying to avoid. And frankly, they had hoped that this had all blown over by now, and it has not.
Listen, BlizzCon is fast approaching, and if you want to avoid a protest, I don't know that you're going to, unless you cancel BlizzCon.
Listen, I mean, Norris, Robbie, you guys typically have gone to BlizzCon. Are you guys excited to not be going to BlizzCon this year?
I'm
going to
be honest. I don't want to be in that room when that whatever happens, happens. Because something's going to happen. If Diablo Immortal or whatever it was enough to set off that crowd that way, just wait until
see
this crowd.
They haven't said that they're not releasing Diablo 4 this year, so this might be the year.
I think they're definitely releasing this year, actually.
Yeah.
Konami has announced a new Silent Hill project.
Oh, come on.
Yes, PT is returning.
It was announced at the Global Gaming Expo in Las Vegas, and it's called Silent Hill Escape. And if you haven't guessed where this is going,
it's mobile.
Welcome to the disappointment that is Konami. It's a slot machine.
Oh, it's even worse.
It's even worse
than mobile.
See, because an escape room actually might have been pretty cool.
And a Silent Hill escape room would have been sweet.
I would do a Silent Hill escape room.
I'm definitely
not doing a slot machine.
Konami is always good for one, aren't they? Every time.
I hate Konami so much.
Capcom, on the other hand, have announced something interesting for the Resident Evil franchise. They've announced a new VR-exclusive prequel story for Resident Evil 7.
Really?
The experience,
all VR-exclusive?
The experience, Robbie, takes roughly 40 minutes and is multiplayer, tasking players with scavenging and surviving the Baker farm.
You ruined it.
What? No!
Multiplayer?
Stop it.
That's This sounds awesome. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
In concept, maybe, but no. This
Robbie,
is,
you know you're in. If that's if that's under $40, you're in.
No. Running around on a farm trying to shore up your defenses with three other people in VR, it's Left 4 Dead. So,
you wouldn't play Left 4 Dead in VR?
What's wrong with you?
So for now, that's going to be demoed at an event in Japan, but hopefully we'll hear about it coming to North America very soon. That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website. That's at CheckpointXP.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. As more and more politicians and traditional media get involved with Twitch, we all knew it was going to be a matter of time. Last week, President Donald Trump officially launched a Twitch channel.
All right.
Now, here's the thing. We applauded this decision when it was the UK Parliament.
We did.
We applauded it even when it was Bernie Sanders.
We did. We applauded it when it was the Washington Post.
Yeah, exactly. So just by sheer fact that I personally don't like him or his policies, I can't bristle at this. I can't hold it against him. I can't, you know, like I don't like it personally, but I would be a huge hypocrite if I would sit here on this show and go, well, this is a real big problem and Twitch needs to get out in front of it.
Someone a huge hypocrite is the person who a few months ago was saying that video games turn people into killers, that they're violence, that they need to be done away with, that we should keep our youth away from them, and then suddenly, hey, let's use that platform people stream video games.
No, because I'm actually going to agree with Nate here. Because first of all, everything that appears on Twitch is not gaming related. Yep. It's a gaming adjacent platform.
Yep.
But you can join Twitch and never do gaming content ever.
You can do just chatting or eat.
Whatever. You can do anything you want.
But do you think
almost,
that that's the way that it was sold to him?
It probably, first of all, he probably doesn't even know.
Yeah,
that
he probably has no idea.
You're probably right.
But yeah. Nate, I'm going to agree with you in principle for sure, because I remember there was the same sort of I don't want to say uproar, but there was the same sort of sideways glances when President Obama decided to have a Twitter profile.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
It was something that nobody thought about. It was something that nobody really thought a president should be doing. That everything should be getting sent through official channels and through the mainstream media. Media and all this type of stuff, and yet Obama proved that this was a viable platform, that this was really the best way to connect and deliver information to a lot of people. Now we know that Trump has taken this to a whole new level.
Yeah, absolutely.
A whole new level.
And here's the thing, and I want to correct some misinformation that I've seen in discussions about this article. The first thing is that yes, President Trump's Twitch channel is partnered. Yes. There is no subscription option to the channel. So he's not making money off of it.
And even if they did, it would be the U.S. government, probably.
I have no idea how you would even begin to suss that out.
Can you throw bits at him?
I have no idea. Maybe. I mean, I
see. That's the only slipperiness of it, is that if it's Donald Trump's personal Twitch page, that presents a different issue as opposed to if it's
the president of the United States.
Twitch page.
Well,
which I think the president should have a Twitch profile, to be honest.
I mean, the account is Donald Trump. So.
It is, yeah. Yes, I agree. I think it would be very hypocritical to come on here and say, oh, you know what? Now I don't want politicians getting involved on Twitch. I think it's a great thing for politicians to get involved on Twitch. That said, the message that is being spread over Twitch, because I've seen what happens at some Trump rallies, that's not something I necessarily want coming over Twitch.
I mean, listen, if he's on the platform, he's going to have to adhere to the rules. And I would say that it's in Twitch's court to enforce the rules of his stream.
He has the right to use the platform.
He does.
Twitch has the right and the responsibility to manage that.
That's right. Listen, we want to hear from you. What do you think about the president starting a Twitch channel? Do you think it's a good idea? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming monster you would want to have as a pet. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint XP News Desk.
The situation with Echo Fox just gets worse and worse.
Oh, no. Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City and 107.9 The Franchise in Tulsa. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming monster, like what in-game monster would you want to have as your own little pet. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first,
oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
For the dunk! Andrew Giannis into the basket!
Oh, and another one! Oh, and a third! What is this?
Esports Gaming Update with Joe Sloan.
The situation between Echo Fox and their owner and founder, Rick Fox, is getting infinitely more complicated now. Riot Games is now trying to navigate that minefield as they've managed to sell Echo Fox's North American franchise slot. They owe Echo Fox $30.5 million for the sale of the slot to Evil Geniuses, but who does the check get made out to?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That question,
awkward.
That question will be heading through the California legal system, who are going to have to try to decide how to divvy up the money between Rick Fox and his partner.
And now suddenly, his partner's trying to force him out makes a little bit more sense. That's suddenly one share less that you have to give.
Oh,
and
yep.
I think he probably has claim to more than just whatever share he's sitting on.
If this story ends with not just Rick Fox being ousted from his own company, but also not even getting any of that money, I'm going to be so angry with the world.
I don't think it's going to end that way. I'm
pretty
sure, because he was still a founder when the sale went through. He's entitled to a portion of it. But geez, this situation just gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
Fans of Team Solo Mid, rejoice. Your best player has chosen to re-sign with you. Many speculated that Bjergsen would move on from Team Solo Mid, and it seemed like that may come to pass. TSM tweeted out a thank you to Bjergsen before following it up with announcing that he'd re-sign. Everyone had
mean.
A heart attack.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
In addition, now with this re-signing, he's also going to become a partial owner in the team, which I think is fascinating.
PogChamp.
We see this sometimes in the traditional sports world. The NBA, I think, specifically, is where we see this a lot.
Yeah.
Where to get a major superstar to return to a team that maybe hasn't been performing up to standards, they'll say, how'd you like to be a partial owner of the team? How would you like to have some real skin in the game? And I think it's a cool thing to see kind of translate to esports now.
Yeah, and you know what? I was kind of angered by some of the LCS fans that have, you know, gone out and said, you know, they really wanted Bjergsen to potentially join their team, saying like, oh, he must not like money, or he must...
He must love money, I think.
No. If you think whatever number, whatever other team threw at him equaled both a contract and partial ownership of TSM, nah, buddy. He made that bag move.
Psyonix is reportedly weighing the benefits of a franchise league for their game, Rocket League. They've been eyeing a similar system to the Call of Duty and Overwatch leagues, but no decision has been made yet. It wouldn't be surprising, given that they are now owned by Epic Games, who have former Overwatch League commissioner Nate Nanzer working
again,
for them.
Again, I think esports is finally at this point. I know a lot of people don't want it to move in that direction, but I think franchising is the only way to move esports forward and continue to grow it in the mainstream. People need to be able to have franchises that they can connect
if you're a fan of the game. If it suddenly becomes franchised, that shouldn't weigh on you in any way. Like people who are like, oh, I was a fan of Cloud9, but now they're based in London, I don't like them anymore.
Well, it's not so much that, it's the fact that if you're a fan of somebody like Dignitas, and Dignitas falls out of the LCS back when there was, you know, promotion and relegation,
you find a new team.
There's always the no, but you want your team to return. And so now that we have franchise, and you get to a point, you pick a team, that's your team, and you rock with them.
Last week, the names of the upcoming Call of Duty teams were leaked, and we were hopeful that some of those, you know, would be placeholder names. However, the London Royal Ravens have officially unveiled their name and branding. And I'll say this, the branding looks cool, but it's a little problematic.
I see a problem with it. I see several problems.
I got an Indiana Jones vibe.
Yeah, I got a distinctly Wolfenstein vibe.
Wait, hold on. What do those two games have in common?
Yeah, we don't need to say it.
Oh, no. No, we don't need to say it.
I'm just saying.
But
like,
it's quite clear.
Yeah, it's a little. The colors don't help.
I'll bet you your grandfather wouldn't feel great about that branding.
No, it's all bad.
Yeah. If you literally color swap, you know, the background with the logo, like, then it becomes much more obvious what we're talking about.
Someone I feel like very young made a decision on that one that did not get checked. One thing that frequently gets overlooked in esports is virtual reality. A collegiate VR league actually kicked off last year with 6 inaugural colleges participating. That number has now grown to 16 teams for their second season, including some major names like University of California, Berkeley, University of Michigan, Texas Tech, and Stanford.
Wow.
I was kind of into that. Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't think a whole lot about VR collegiate.
Here's the problem, though. What game are they playing?
I mean, that's always kind of the issue that you run into with VR games is you need to have one that's really gonna take off. That I know they always do like the spell casting one where you're kind of like doing like the Wizards duel sort of thing,
right?
That's not gonna get it done, I don't
think. Dude, that is some of the most unwatchable stuff I've ever seen, to be honest.
This week marked the celebration of League of Legends' 10th anniversary. To commemorate the event, we got all kinds of announcements and insight into things Riot is working on. Included among them are a card game, the mobile version of the game, and an anime centered around League of Legends.
Listen, as much as I don't like anime, like, as a genre, a lot of those animated commercials that they were doing about this time last year were incredible. Most of the world's music videos that they do are absolutely incredible. So I'm actually kind of excited to see what this ends up becoming.
You know what, Joe? I actually think this is going to get me into League of Legends. I'm going to start playing. I'm going to play the League of Legends card game, Joe, just for you.
Stop it.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website. That's at checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. So as of recording this episode, we are now finished with the first half of the double round robin in League of Legends World Championship. Joe, how's North America doing?
I gotta say, not great, not terrible. I would say they're kind of where I expected them to be after a few days of competition.
That's fair.
Cloud9 over in Group A, they're currently 1-2. They've got a win over Hong Kong Attitude. They lost to G2 and Griffin. Norris, real quick, can we talk about that Cloud9 Griffin matchup?
Okay, yeah, that was
my favorite match I've ever seen and the dumbest thing I've ever watched.
It was so stupid. There were no marksman characters on the map for either team. It was slow. It went about 50 minutes. It was plotting. It basically was it was like watching an old English football match, man. It was bad.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of that. I hope that doesn't become the meta for the rest of Worlds. Because this Worlds, by the way, has been one of the most varied there's ever been. There's been something like 89 unique champions picked at Worlds this year. That's insane.
I believe that is the highest there's ever been
at Worlds. It is. Team Liquid, kind of, you know, North America's last best hope. They are 2-1 currently. They have a victory over AHQ and Damwon Gaming. They took a loss to Invictus. I don't think anyone feels too bad about a loss to Invictus. They are the former world champs. I understand they beat him at the midseason invitational, so we were all hoping they'd just beat him again here. But they played a really close game that I thought was, you know, pretty strong. And for them to be 2-1 at the halfway point here, if they go 2-1 again in the second half, they're getting out of the group, and that's what we're all hoping for.
And I also think it's important to note that everybody but AHQ in that group are 2-1. So you got 1-3, they're all tied up. So it's really anybody's group, but if I had to pick, I would definitely say that Damwon and Team Liquid look the better of the three.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We got to ask about Clutch.
Yes. So Clutch Gaming, which
the Mighty Ducks.
Yes, I said
of League of Legends.
I said on the show last week that if Clutch manages to escape Group C, it is the miracle on ice for esports. That would be the comparison point. Clutch Gaming is 0-3 currently. They have gotten smashed in three consecutive games.
So there's no way that they're making it out.
If they go,
it's not impossible.
If they go they would have to go 3-0. They would have to beat the runners up from last year, the second best team in China, and the most decorated team in the history of League of Legends, and not lose to any of them.
So what you're So what you're saying is there's a chance.
There is a chance.
Statistically, yes.
I think they'd have to do all that and then win a tiebreaker game. They have a chance.
They would.
To be honest with you,
how devastating, how heartbreaking would it be to bring it back to the tiebreaker and then lose the tiebreaker?
That'd be brutal.
That'd be devastating.
I got to say though, a lot of people are giving Clutch a hard time, and I don't feel like it's warranted. I mean, they are not performing below expectations. They got seeded into this group with three teams that are definitely better than they are, and they lost to them.
I mean, but the game against SKT looked absolutely incompetent in some places. I know SK is good. They are very, very good. But there were calls and there were team fights that literally made no sense in that game. And they just look like they're completely out of their depth.
All right. Anyway, the moral is go Team Liquid.
All right. Well, listen, we got to hear from you on this. Are you cheering on Team Liquid or Cloud9? Or are you going for the long shot, the underdogs, Clutch Gaming?
You could probably get great betting odds.
Connect with us on social media. You're losing money if you're doing that. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to check in with our social media followers and find out what gaming monster you would want to have as a pet. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's Checkpoint XP's social media question. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida on 99.3 FM. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we ask you what gaming monster you would want to have as a pet. And I noticed a common theme. A lot of people picked Pokemon that they like, which I understand. I get it.
It's an easy go-to.
It is an easy go-to. That's where my mind went to first. However,
easy mode, if you will.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does Red 13 count? Because I definitely would want to have Red 13 as a pet.
I would say any creature or monster would count. And unfortunately, Red 13 is
a creature. I want a lion thing that I can talk to.
Here's my question about that, right? Because, again, this is your pet now. And Red 13 is a sentient being.
Yes.
Nate.
Yeah.
You don't think that's crossing some lines?
No.
Okay.
I mean, your cat is sentient. It just can't talk.
He would have to agree to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right. Fair, I guess.
Okay. But I mean, as long as we're, you know,
you're not capturing and domesticating him.
Yeah. As long as we're talking about stuff that's not real or possible in the least, I figure, you know, here's my headcanon. I convinced him. We sat down. We had a great conversation. I was like, "You want to keep hanging out?" He's like, "Yeah."
That's cool. I love
done.
It.
Done.
Yeah. Cool. See, my thinking on it is that I already have cats, so I don't need anything like cuddly or cute or like companionship or anything like that. What I need at this point is something that I know is going to protect me and my family,
mm-hmm.
and that on site is going to deter possible intruders from entering my premise.
Indeed. Okay. You need a dog, is what you're looking for.
I'm going to go with the Big Daddy from BioShock.
That's a person.
Good. That is. I mean, their brains have been basically rewired.
Doesn't matter. It's a person.
I mean,
You want to talk about Nate crossing ethical lines?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I did not create the Big Daddy. Somebody else crossed that line.
No,
that's not how it works, Robbie.
Yeah, your answer was way more sketchy than mine is.
Yeah,
way more
sketchy. You can't say, "Hey, man, I would love to have a slave." Basically,
yeah. Well, I didn't enslave them, so technically, I'm just purchasing.
Mute him. You walk up to a house and that Big Daddy's standing out front. You're walking the other way.
I agree with you. It all doesn't make it okay. Norris, what pet do you want?
Anyway.
What awful sin against humanity are you going to commit?
Here's the thing. I, too, went at least with a part of Robbie's logic in terms of I want something that puts fear into the hearts of men, but I didn't get something that was an actual person. No. I want the FF8 version of Bahamut as my pet.
Bahamut is also sentient and talks to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we homies.
So the Nate theory, as long as you guys are homies,
we're homies.
Cool.
He kicks it in the backyard. I feed him. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if he can fit in your backyard. You live in an apartment.
You don't have a backyard.
I put him in my mom's backyard.
You don't, and he doesn't go into a Pokeball either. Like,
no,
there's no convenient way.
He kicks it in my mom's backyard.
There's
and
no convenient way to hang out
and
with Bahamut.
Listen, and I text him, and he flies and picks me up.
You know, all the people that chose Pokemon are like, yeah, suddenly our decisions don't seem so far-fetched, do they, guys?
I mean, honestly, no, yeah,
you're
right.
I like that Bahamut has a cell phone.
All right,
that's my
Joe. I feel like
you try to go to the hookah bar, Bahamut, on Let's Roll.
I feel like none of us have really had good answers just yet. Can you give us the perfect answer?
Yes, I think I can. I work a lot. I don't really have time to take good care of pets. I need things that are easy to take care of. I want the companion cube from Portal. It was thrown into lava before my very eyes.
I don't know. Is that even a creature?
That's not even organic.
You just picked the pet rock of video games.
It screamed in pain when it fell in the lava.
Yeah, it's technically alive in some sense, so...
That's what they'd have you think.
Yeah.
I want my companion cube back. I've never forgiven myself for letting harm come to it.
By the way, how did none of us say... The thing from what is it, the Guardian, the
Last Guardians, everything,
yeah, the Last Guardian thing,
Trico, the giant,
whatever that is,
feline thing.
Someone, I don't know what that is.
One of our social media followers did, Davey said that he wanted Trico.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, then there
somebody did.
Trico ain't got enough destructive power.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through our social media question and finding out what you guys would want as a pet. What gaming monster you guys would want as a pet. So let's take a look at some of the responses
coming in
over social media.
Trico doesn't have destructive power. Normal cats have destructive power, and this is the size of a semi.
All right, so we got, first of all, a lot of responses also from the Final Fantasy universe,
and a lot of
responses of things that would not be good pets, I feel like. Like this one from Jordan on Facebook, who says a Zergling or maybe a Hydralisk from StarCraft. That's not going to go well for you.
That's killing you.
Acid.
They bleed acid.
Yeah, they bleed acid.
Oh, and they spit it too. Dragon Lord on Twitter says from the cartoon, Mr. Mime does household chores. That'd be a great pet.
He also has some kind of weird, unspeakable relationship with Ash's mom.
Yes.
At some point, Mr. Mime becomes a surrogate dad for Ash, and I don't know how to feel about any of that.
I know how to feel about it. Weird.
Yeah, it's definitely weird.
Jump Kid Squad on Twitter says Alduin, because he's a dragon, duh. I feel like that's going to be a difficult thing to take care of.
Yeah, like how would you like control it? Like, it's sort of like you ask people, like, what's your ideal pet? And they go, a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, what?
How are you taking care of a Tyrannosaurus Rex? Do you know how much cows cost?
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. Quentin on Twitter says Bowser from Super Mario because he would scare all of your friends.
I mean, I guess.
Would you consider Bowser a monster or animal? That's like a dude. Bowser's like a shell dude.
Yeah, he's a dude.
He's like the Mario universe's version of Biff Tannen.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure you're not
literally.
Because I'm pretty sure you can't do the proper impression. I'm going to read Reverse Gremlin here from Twitter. Says, I'd love a Murloc from World of Warcraft. Just look at them. They're so cute. Also, they can fight for you. Maybe get some fish. Plus, they go.
All right, Robbie, I got to tell you how happy I am that you took that one, because I literally looked at that one and went, uh-oh. I'm not sure I can do that one.
I like Cast from Twitter, who says Moombas over Moogles.
Yes.
Listen,
one's willing to say it, but yes.
I completely agree. The Moomba was the greatest creature to put into the Final Fantasy universe, and no one ever seems to acknowledge
that. Only good part of 8.
The best part of 8, I grant you that.
Okay, all right.
Joey on Facebook says, Pokemon does mean pocket monster, so I'm going to say a Magikarp.
Which now, seems all fine and low maintenance until it evolves into a Gyarados.
Yes. Yeah. Once that evolves, your food bill is going up.
Yeah, if I learned anything from Detective Pikachu, it's that Gyarados is not what you want to be facing off against or trying to care for.
Especially if it has Earthquake.
Yeah. All right, one more.
All right, Jake on Facebook says, a Palico. What's not to love about an Animorph cat that does whatever I tell it to, even if that's taking the heat off me and getting wrecked by an Elder Dragon?
And cook you some bomb food.
Yes. You know what? That was the best part about the Palico. Was the awesome food that they would cook. All right, well, listen, we're going to have to leave it right there, but make sure you follow us on social media so that you can make your voice heard on next week's social media question. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP. For more info on the show, links to articles, and the Checkpoint XP podcast, then head on over to CheckpointXP.com. And, of course, make note of when you're catching us on your local radio station like WXSM Tri-City Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. And remember to come back next week for more video game news and discussion. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Chad Callahan, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.